Dior Talks. Welcome to the Dior Talks podcast series dedicated to the 8th edition of Dior Lady Art, hosted by Paris-based journalist Katia Forman. For this highly anticipated edition, 12 artists from around the world were invited to transform the iconic Lady Dior handbag into a unique work of art. Class at its highest standard is how our latest guest, Ludovic Koch, describes the Lady Dior. The New York-based artist who was born and raised in Cameroon and moved to the United States at 13 is known for his intimate, vibrant, densely impastoed portraits that explore themes including the Black experience, displacement, the idea of self, power and culture. For Dior Lady Art, Ludovic Koch blends references to his system series with emblems evoking the history of Cameroon on striking black and white versions of the Lady Dior. Like a secret gallery, the bag's flaps open to reveal a lining bearing a grid of faces, while the iconic canard quilting is dotted with red and black cowrie shells, which served as currency in pre-colonial Cameroon. Revealing a number of precious details borrowed from jewellery-making savoir-faire, small golden metal masks become charms on these captivating pieces that offer a window into his world. Tune into the episode to hear all about the stories and symbols behind the artist's powerful Lady Dior creations. Today, on the Dior Talk series dedicated to the 8th edition of Dior Lady Art, we catch up with Ludovic Koch to learn more about his universe and hear the stories behind his Lady Dior bags. Two chic black and white creations adorned with Cameroonian motifs and linings inspired by the artist's powerful system series. So, Ludovic, it's great to be catching up with you today. I wanted to start by asking where you're calling from, because I read that you had relocated to Paris from Brooklyn for a residency. I think that was in 2022, and that you ended up staying in Paris for a while. Are you still in Paris?
No, first, it's a pleasure being here with you, and thank you for making time for me. No, I'm not in Paris anymore. I relocated back to New York, actually, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half now.
Okay.
I'm already missing Paris, as you can imagine. But my time there was so fruitful. I enjoyed every single second and hour that I had there. And yes, I was supposed to be there for only 10 months, but then I went past a year and things just kept working. And I was just responding to the space and the work felt well. So I just told myself, why not stay here?
I read that you were hanging out quite a lot in Chateau Rouge, which is the African district. Like, you discovered a few new subjects there.
Yes. So, and it was also a very pleasant coincidence, because the Académie des Beaux-Arts, we had a studio that was located in Montmartre in the 18th. And right next to that, you know, you have Sacré-Cœur, and then right under that, you have Chateau Rouge, which is populated by mostly West African immigrants. And for the projects and research that I wanted to do for the residency, it was just perfect for me. So I took the advantage to just hang there as much as I could. And it also, it was curing a bit of my homesickness that I have with Cameroon, because when I was there, it felt a bit like I was walking around some of the markets in Yaoundé, Cameroon. So it was a very good time.
Did you also get to visit Dior?
I did a few times, actually. It just worked really perfectly, because we started the project a few months before I moved to Paris. And when I was in Paris, it was just perfect, because I could work directly with the studio, and then they can come visit me in my studio. And not a lot was done over email or phone calls or video call. We were actually on the ground touching the materials, seeing the way the light will reflect on some, seeing how it feels in the hand. It was very fun working there in Paris on this project as well.
I'm sure it was. And before we get to your amazing bags, could we just hear a bit about your background? I believe you were born and raised in Cameroon and you moved to the United States at around age 13.
Yes, that is correct. Born and raised in Cameroon, moved to South Carolina to be with my family, and I went to school in South Carolina, and then as soon as I could leave South Carolina, I left the space to relocate to New York to actually pursue my master's in fine arts. And New York slowly became a home for myself, and the sense of community was just something that I started feeling as part of me. So I decided to stay, and the rest is history, and it's still unfolding as we speak.
How was it for you moving to America as a teenager? Was that a bit of a cultural shock?
It was a lot of things, a big melange of things, actually. Starting with the culture shock, yes, everything was very different. The language was different because in Cameroon, as you know, we're a bilingual country, but my family is Francophone, so French was the language I was speaking while I was with my family there. But now relocating to the United States, where now English became my primary language, and the social norms are very different. The way people greet each other or even love on each other was very different for me. But also there was a big level of excitement that was in between all those feelings. I was also, as a kid, I was excited to be moving to the States, you know, because I think the only time we were in Cameroon, we were exposed to American culture was through, you know, music videos or just movies and film. And as a kid, you can imagine the idea of moving into something that you've only seen through a screen was very exciting for me. But also, again, moving to the South was another different story that I think we might need 3 interviews to unpack.
Okay, so maybe art has proven therapeutic for that.
Very much so, very much so. And also, speaking on the therapeutic aspect of the practice, I think it was one of the main tools I used to just navigate the space around the South. As an outsider, art was always just something that I had to understand where I was and how to deal with this new world.
What do you love about the process of painting?
Oh, wow. So many things. I could write a book. Painting. So for me, I will associate it with the idea of painting a figure, for example. Whenever I'm sitting down, and a lot of my work in the past has been around family and just loved ones and understanding the space that they inhabit, but also understanding how the relationship that we have with each other. So while painting a portrait, I'm able to have a one-on-one with this person and understand, you know, their life experiences through, you know, this little process of realizing and noticing every fold into their face or even the way the light hits them. I think it becomes a very intimate conversation in that sense. So this also translates whenever I'm painting now, just anything, you know, if I'm painting something that's in front of me, that's me trying to grasp the idea of that thing, understand what makes that thing what it is, and understanding the role of that person or that thing in my space and also just the social world that we live in. So I think I've always used art in a way to just understand and ask questions in that sense. So it has slowly become a therapeutic thing through that. Because I think the best thing that therapy does is allow us to understand the things within ourselves that we don't fully understand or we don't even fully know that's there. So for me, this is what painting does for me.
To go back to the House of Dior, how did you go about this collaboration? How familiar were you with their universe? Did you do much research around Dior, or did you just want to kind of go in with a blank page?
A little bit of everything. I think I always like to approach projects with as much research as possible. I like to understand what has been and what is and what can be. And when it comes with Dior, I think the house is very good at reimagining the things that they've done throughout history. And this is, and they always do with such an elegance that I think I was trying to capture within the whole experience and design of the bag. I was familiar with the house already, but I wasn't super familiar into their ways of doing and also just their traditions. So I think through research with my studio and also conversations with the house, I've been able to get better acquainted with the house as a whole. And the way the project came to life was also very magical to me, because like I said before, we started this project a few months before I moved to Paris, and I remember sitting in the studio with my team just talking about ideas, and I had someone helping me with some research, and I saw what has been done before, and I started imagining how can my world meet this world halfway, or how can I bring my world into this space and still retain the level of sophistication? Because this bag for me exists as a sculptural object. But not only I was making a 3D sculptural object, I was also making something that needs to be useful. This is a piece of art that you're able to walk around with rather than hang on your walls, which you could still do with the bag, you know?
Yeah.
I would highly recommend it. But it was fascinating molding and sculpting this bag from just small elements within my practice, things that I've visited before and motives that I've thought about visiting, and having that come together on this bag that already has such a fascinating history.
Yeah.
It was interesting for me having my history where I'm from, my history where my people are from, and the things that I maybe saw growing up. How could I fold that into this already existing history and have it exist as one rather than, you know, an artist put something on top of one thing and then it just became that. I wanted it to be a bit more in harmony with one another.
And what does the Lady Dior symbolize for you?
Oh, wow. The Lady Dior symbolize the highest level of dreaming, in my opinion, and also the highest level of savoir-faire. Working with the team now, I can attest to that. I say first dreaming because working on the bag, coming up with the sketches, it was done thinking, I didn't fully know what was possible, but I was just excited with the project. So I approached it as, oh, let me just draw what my craziest imagination with the craziest material and just also just test the house to see the possibilities, you know?
Right.
And I sent them my wildest drawings. And then when I moved to Paris, they greeted me with already prototypes of materials, but also things directly from the drawings. And I was just, wow, that felt very magical for me. I remember being in Olivier's office, just eyes wide open and just smiling from ear to ear for literally an hour that we were in the meeting. So I think for me, yes, the Dior, the Lady Dior just represent this high level of elegance, savoir-faire, but also a very magical thing.
So for our listeners, could you present your bags? What do they look like? What are they made of?
Of course, I'll try to paint this picture for them. So we were fortunate enough to work on three bags. We worked on two bigger bags and we worked on a smaller one too. I'll start with the two big ones. The two big ones are made out of leather. One is white and one is black. And on them, they have this pattern that already somewhat existed within the Lady Dior bag, which is the diamond pattern with the stitching. But I wanted to have that a bit more loose. So I played around with the arrangement of the pattern. And on top of the pattern, we replaced the stitching with a stitching that's made out of beads. And this also goes back to making African jewelry in Cameroon, for example, where a lot of the jewelry are made out of beads. And on top of that, I brought in curry shells because of the history that exists within that shell in West Africa, but also within my practice. And then as well linked with the shells is a mask that I've made my own for a long time, but also a mask that reminds me of where I come from every time I look at it. And within the inside lining of the bag, we also introduced a leather lining. And in the inside, we have these beautiful grid paintings that I've been working on for a while. And it was very fascinating to adapt a painting into a pattern in the lining of the bag rather than having it outside of the bag, like what would be maybe expected from a collaboration of the sort.
So it's kind of like a secret gallery in a way. You open the bag and there's this artwork.
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, and I also think conceptually it's this idea of protecting the figures that are in these paintings, because the grid paintings are made out of this portraits of black figures that borrows from a barbershop, but also borrows from the idea of beauty and also so many other things. So I thought to myself, how can we protect these figures and have them within the bag, and also have a surprise every time you open your bag? And the texture that was also we're able to achieve with the printing of the painting on leather was very, very, very good. So that's exciting. And the smaller bag, it feels more like a piece of jewelry, the smaller one. It's all curry shells made out of these beautiful crystals that are painted black and red. And whenever you're holding the bag, first, it has a weight that it comes with, which I love. But also, it feels like you're holding something that's a jewelry, something that you want to just keep on your arm the whole day if you're walking with it. And at the bottom of the bag, growing up, I'm the oldest of four boys. So my mother always told us a woman's bag should never touch the ground. So I wanted to have these little stools at the bottom that is also now borrowed from West African traditions. And the stools are what keeps the bag afloat and away from touching the ground.
And these cowrie shells are not just decoration at all. Can you tell us a bit about the symbolism of those shells?
Of course. So when we think of West Africa before we were colonized, the curry shell were a symbol of money. Well, it was used as money, as currency those days. But then through colonization, this is what was replaced into the kind of currency we're used to now. But also the curry shell has a lot of magical or healing property that is associated with some traditions that we have back home. So I wanted to mix these ideas and have something that means so much to one side of the world. But then when you look at the way it's been appropriated into fashion, it's somewhat lost a lot of its meaning or its history. I don't think a lot of people know the history that exists with the, behind curry shells. So within my practice, I always has the idea of also regaining or reclaiming things that were taken away from, in this example, the curry shell, the power that it used to hold and what it used to mean. So I wanted to bring that back and have it, again, be the symbol of beauty, but also magic within the bag. And I wanted to tie that with this West African mask, again, to remind the viewer where these shells were actually coming from within that time.
And the cowry shells are painted red and black?
Yes. So the reason why they were painted red and black, in 2020 or early 21, I moved to Spain to make a body of work that was speaking on the journey that happens between North Africa and parts of Europe, like Spain and Italy, through the Mediterranean. And I started thinking about, historically, these black figures that exist also just at the bottom of the waters that we have, just within this journeys, you know, we talk about the Atlantic and also now the Mediterranean. So I started thinking, these curry shells will be also found at the bottom of these waters, but what if these were, because we have these, we see them as spiritual elements back home. What if I was repainting them as these bodies that exist at the bottom of the ocean to create this conversation between myself, the continent, but also my ancestors? And this is how this curry shell started be painting black and red to represent this lineage that I feel I'm part of, and re-giving or reclaiming this history that exists within the curry shell itself.
And tell us a bit about the work that features inside. I believe it's taken from your system series. So you have this grid of heads against different shades of orange. You mentioned the barbershop influence, but also other things. Tell us a bit more about that series.
Yes, the series just excites me because it turns every time I make a new painting on that series. I started working on that series around 2021, I would say. And it started from my love for barbershop and beauty, but also living down south. A lot of close friends and people that I know were getting arrested. And a lot of the time when we see each other's photos, it would be through mugshots and these pictures that were just profile images. And I saw the link between that, but also the barbershop, which was a safe space for a lot of these young black men. And I wanted to take the idea of this black male portrait that existed within the system that we're trying to imprison a lot of these men and the mugshot, and reframe that into this space of beauty that existed within the barbershop. And this is how a lot of these portraits started taking shape. And now they're also titled system, because I believe within every country, every space, there's a social system that we're all governed by. And whenever I'm traveling around the world and I make these system paintings, they're questioning the system that these figures that I'm painting exist within. So for the great paintings that were made in Paris, for example, they were filled with figures that I met in Chateau Rouge and all around Paris that just migrated to the country. So positioning them within that grid was trying to figure out, and me trying to understand which grid they live within, but also how can they push conversations out of that grid and within that grid. So within this system paintings, I'm trying to question these patterns that we live within, but also ask questions of how we can live past these things. So they're also operating as a navigation compass for me and these figures that I'm painting within these systems.
Thank you. I love the story behind the system series.
Yeah, and it changes and it grows again, depending where I make them and who the figures and the sitters are and the stories, the land that they exist in. So,
Ludovic, what is your view on the art-fashion relationship? What can art bring to fashion? It's a big question.
That's a big question. I think it's fascinating because I think fashion looks at art as much as art looks at fashion. And this is a conversation that has been going on for many years within just history, you know. I think artists want to be fashion designers and fashion designers want to be artists, which is a beautiful melange and a beautiful thing we have going. And I always think it's fascinating to see how artists are able to come into the fashion world and reinterpret a few things that were already into existence. And then also how some designers are able to just go into the art world and tap into this artist and reconceptualize, you know, a house or a bag like the Lady Dior bag. And I think fashion and art are just always going to be hand in hand. And I'm just very thankful that we have houses like Dior and many more that are very intentional in pushing the envelope of what it means to be an artist. Because like I was saying, most artists want to design because designers are also just artists. And I think it's a beautiful marriage.
And being invited to collaborate on Dior Lady Art, what would you say was your favorite part of this experience?
There were a lot of favorite parts. I would say my favorite part were realizing that everything is possible, literally. Because I think working in my studio, I sometimes know how far I can push the paint and the canvas and myself, but going into designing something for a fashion house where I'm working with materials that I've never worked before, I wasn't fully aware of what was possible and what wasn't possible. But literally every time I would go into the office with the craziest idea, or if I want the legs of the bag to be in wood, the specific wood, I'll go the next week and the bag is in a specific wood, you know? I want a specific crystal for this shell that didn't even think it was possible. And I'll go into the next day and it'll be like a magic trick over again and it's just possible. So I think what was most exciting about this was the bag allowed me to think of material in a new light. And I want to also keep pushing that envelope of how I could bring new materials and new ideas of making within my personal practice as well.
Thank you, Ludovic. Just to wrap, who did you design your Lady Jewels for?
I don't think I was designing this bag for a specific person in mind. Because it's a Lady Dior bag, of course, I was imagining what would my mother feel like and look like while wearing this bag. But I was not making it for her, I would say that. But of course, it's an idea because she's one of the most important women in my life. But while designing the bag, I wanted anyone that is able to have the bag to just feel connected to this bag, feel like they're walking around with a piece of art, feel like they're walking around with a piece of an artist practice as well. And I hope it elevates every moment they introduce the bag to, elevates every piece of clothing they wear. And I just hope it brings a smile to their face, you know, because I think this is also what I feel when I look at a great painting. It evokes a sense of emotion. And I hope that the bag is able to do this for whoever is able to walk around with this bag. It's not made for anyone in particular. I think it's made for everyone that wants to have a piece of art in their life.